Joe Catalano with an AM Quincy News update for Friday, December 12th. Quincy has been awarded a $6.3 million loan in the city's ongoing efforts to improve its water quality and sewer system. The state loan announced by the treasurer's office this week includes over $700,000 that will be forgiven. Funding comes from the bipartisan infrastructure law that was passed under the Biden administration. They're part of a $98 million package that was approved for 59 projects in 51 communities across the state. At Quincy will use its loan to help the city comply with a federal mandate that ordered Quincy to stop releasing contaminated water into Quincy Bay. The work will include screening for illicit discharges, conducting catchment investigations, and addressing identified sources of contamination. Hundreds of thousands of Massachusetts residents could see their cost of health care skyrocket after lawmakers voted against extending tax credits for the Affordable Care Act subsidies yesterday. The subsidies are set to expire at the end of the year. 8th District Congressman Stephen Lynch said at least 24,000 people in his district will be impacted. Loss of benefits will increase an annual health care bill from $5,000 to $20,000. The proposal put forth by the Democrats looked to extend the subsidies by 3 years, but was voted down. The Republican plan, which also failed to pass, proposed to expand health savings accounts to help people pay for some Affordable Care Act plans. Lynch said that no subsidies means more people will opt out of insurance plans and rely on emergency rooms, driving up costs even more. He added that President Trump's big, beautiful bill could force hospitals to close because of Medicaid cuts. Lynch says the bill cuts $1 trillion from Medicaid over the next 10 years. White House Press Secretary Carolyn Leavitt said President Trump and his health care policy team are working on a solution. Earlier this week, Governor Healey said that roughly 10,000 people have already opted to drop coverage due to the expected spike in premiums. Food donated from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in Salt Lake City, Utah, is being distributed to needy people here on the South Shore. 40,000 pounds of non-perishable food items arrived on the South Shore last week and was split between Interfaith Social Services of Quincy and the South Shore Food Bank in Weymouth. The 28 pallets of food were grown, processed, and packaged by church-owned farms, ranches, and production facilities like canneries, dairies, and mills. They process the food using volunteer labor and donations from church members. This is the second time that the church has made a donation to the South Shore. The last time was in 2020, at the height of the pandemic. Interfaith Social Services and the South Shore Food Bank are seeing record-setting levels of need, providing groceries to over 2,000 households every month. Quincy will participate in tomorrow's National Wreaths Across America. Over 300 volunteers will fan out across the city's cemeteries to place wreaths on the graves of some 7,000 veterans who are buried in Quincy. Wreath laying will begin at Pine Hill Cemetery at 10 a.m., and a noontime ceremony will be held in the veterans section of Mount Wollaston Cemetery, followed by the wreath layings. Wreaths will also be placed on veterans' graves at the historic Hancock Cemetery, Sailors Cemetery, and Hall Cemetery. The nonprofit Wreaths Across America was founded in 2007 in Maine and has expanded to over 5,400 locations across the country. The City of Quincy menorah lighting ceremony will be held on Sunday at 4:30 at the Hancock Adams Common in Quincy Center. The public is welcome to attend. The 2025 Ward 4 Holiday Tree Lighting Ceremony will be held Sunday from 4 to 6 p.m. at Shea Park at the Stonecutters Memorial on Copeland Street. The event will feature hot chocolate, pizza, donuts, and Quincy Fire Department Engine 5. Santa arrives at 5 p.m. Participants are asked to bring a canned food item for the Southwest Community Center food pantry. The Southwest Middle School Holiday Bazaar will be held on Saturday from 10 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. in the school gym. The event will feature a bake sale, games, crafts, raffles, thrift gifts, and pictures with Santa. All proceeds go to the Southwest Middle School. Participants are asked to bring two non-perishable canned goods. Quincy Point Congregational Church is collecting diapers for Interfaith Social Services of Quincy. Donations may be dropped off at the church through Sunday, December 14th. O'Brien Walsh's defense rested yesterday without calling any witnesses, setting the stage for closing statements today. Walsh did not take the stand in his own defense in his trial, as he faces a first-degree murder charge in the death of his wife, Anna. The defense was set to begin calling witnesses in his murder trial a day after the prosecution rested its case. Instead, the day started without jurors in the courtroom, as the defense said it would not be calling any witnesses. Walsh is accused of killing his wife, Anna, who was last seen early New Year's Day 2023, and dismembering her body. The 50-year-old Walsh has pleaded not guilty to a first-degree murder charge. His defense argues Anna died unexpectedly following a New Year's Eve party, and her husband panicked when he found her unresponsive. Anna's body has never been found. On the first day of jury selection, Walsh pleaded guilty to charges of misleading police and improperly disposing of a body. The judge ruled the jurors would not be allowed to know that Walsh pleaded guilty to those charges. After 8 days of testimony from witnesses, prosecution rested its case on Wednesday afternoon. Before the jury was brought in, the judge asked if defense attorneys planned to call any witnesses. They said they did not and would not be calling Walsh. Closing statements are set this morning. Assistant District Attorney Ann Yass will present the closing for the prosecution, and Larry Tipton will give closing arguments for the defense. The Cannabis Control Commission unanimously approved regulations governing sites where people could consume marijuana products in social settings, but it may take a while for sites to be established. The rules outline how marijuana can be legally consumed at events and social settings, authorizing businesses with licenses to let customers use their products on site, whether it's at lounges, dispensaries, or yoga studios. Commissioners estimate that businesses can begin serving cannabis on site in up to 18 months. Municipalities must opt in to allow social consumption businesses and develop their own standards of practice. Three different types of social consumption licenses are available under the regulations. One is a supplemental license for existing marijuana businesses to offer customers to consume products they've purchased on site. A hospitality license category would allow for on-site consumption at new or existing non-cannabis businesses like yoga studios or theaters. And an event organizer license category would allow for temporary on-site consumption at events like rallies and festivals. Regulations require licensees to offer customers food and ban alcohol sales within the same area so there is no, quote, commingling of substances. Alcohol can be sold under the same roof as cannabis, but they must be sold in different areas. Commission said there are several provisions aimed at ensuring safe cannabis consumption, including training bud tenders or those serving cannabis on site to recognize the signs of impairment. Also, sale of cannabis products must end 30 minutes before a business closes, and licensees must have approved transportation plans to help customers who may be too impaired to drive home. Licensees also have to get a public safety plan approved by both the commission and local officials. Massachusetts is the first state in New England to allow social consumption of cannabis. It joined states like Alaska, California, Colorado, Illinois, Maryland, Michigan, Nevada, New Jersey, New Mexico, and New York. Older than Fenway Park, older than both Boston Gardens, older than the Bruins, Celtics, the NBA, and the NHL, Matthews Arena, will be closing its doors this week after more than a century of hosting the biggest names, not just in sports, but also politics, music, and culture. Now owned by Northeastern University, the 115-year-old barn will say goodbye when the Huskies play Beanpot rival Boston University in hockey Saturday night. It'll be replaced by a multipurpose arena and recreation center on the same site. The building that opened as Boston Arena in April 1910 served as the original home for the Bruins and also hosted the first Celtics game, giving birth to the team's iconic parquet floor. Along the way, it's hosted both Presidents Roosevelt, along with William Howard Taft and Herbert Hoover, and future Presidents Dwight D. Eisenhower and John F. Kennedy. Aviators Charles Lindbergh and Amelia Earhart were feted there. Concerts featured Marvin Gaye, The Supremes, Chubby Checker, Jerry Lee Lewis, Shirley Jones, Bob Dylan, Phish, and Ludacris. When it opened as the Boston Arena in 1910, the building was to host skating exhibitions, curling, horse shows, and track meets, but after a fire took down the original structure in 1918, the rebuilt arena became a mainstay for ice hockey. The Bruins played there until the original garden opened in 1928. Before they were the Carolina Hurricanes or even the Hartford Whalers, the New England Whalers of the World Hockey Association shared ice time with local colleges. Northeastern moved in when hockey became a varsity sport in 1929. The school bought the building in 1979, and it went by Northeastern Arena for 3 years before it was renamed in honor of the university's former chairman, George Matthews. A check of business news. This morning, stocks are mixed. The Dow soared up 646 points. The NASDAQ lost 60. The S&P rose 14. World shares rose, tracking Wall Street's climb to records despite a sell-off for Oracle, as worries persisted about a potential bubble in artificial intelligence technology. The dollar rose, the euro is down, oil at $57 a barrel. Sports: Bruins beat the Jets 6-3, and they'll be at the Minnesota Wild on Sunday night at 6. Celtics lose to the Bucks 116-101. They'll be hosting the Pistons Monday night at 7 o'clock. Of course, Patriots getting ready to take on the Bills, Foxborough, Sunday at 1. Today's forecast from the National Weather Service: sunny and breezy, the high of 33. For tonight, cloudy and a low 20. Tomorrow, mainly cloudy and a high of 36. Some snow showers around on Sunday, could add up to an inch or two, with a high Sunday of 31. Sunshine on Monday and a high 27. The marine forecast calls for 2-foot waves, west winds, still 25 to 30 knots, decreasing throughout the day. High tide 5:30 p.m. Sunrise 7:03, sets at 4:11. I'm Joe Catalano with an AM Quincy News update for Friday, December 12th.